fuck, what the fuck, what the fuck, yoga.
Hi guys!
Welcome to
What the Fuck
Yoga Podcast.
I'm your host, Anna.
And I'm your other host, Katie.
And welcome to our first official history of yoga, or what the fuck is
what
yoga history.
What the fuck is yoga history?
So this is going to be like a straight up history class.
Yep, but we're going to make it fun.
Yeah,
yeah.
As fun as history can be.
As fun as history. I like history.
I do too. Yeah.
When I was in high school, my dad signed me up. I never liked history when I was younger.
Really?
No, but my dad loves it. And so he signed me up for like the AP, the Advanced Placement History Test. And he's like, you're going to do fine. And I was like, people take a class for this. You can't just like put me in a room
right.
and make me take this test. But he did.
Did you pass it?
No, because I wrote a story about a giraffe who lost his spots.
Wait, how old were you?
It was high school.
High school?
Yeah, I didn't have time to write a novel.
About it?
I had to do a children's book. I only had 2 hours.
You wrote about, that's like a Dr. Seuss book.
It was, I remember exactly what it was about. It was about a giraffe who wanted to look like all of his other giraffe friends, because they all had spots. And then he wanted to look like his friends. And
so what does it have
spots.
To do with your advanced placement history class?
Literally nothing.
Okay.
But now I like history.
Oh, okay, good.
Yes.
Great. Fantastic. Cool.
I did not pass.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't think so.
I don't think I got anywhere near passing. Because, I mean, it was like multiple choice and essay questions. So the multiple choice, I was just like, A, B, C,
right.
A, B, C, A, B,
C. C is the most common answer.
Oh, well,
when in doubt, guys, choose C.
Moral of the story today? Episode over.
Yeah, that's it. Okay,
bye. Just kidding. Stay with us.
Okay, before we get into history and get really serious.
How was your night?
Oh, God.
You guys, Anna is sweating.
I am literally sweating out the vodka. I keep taking my shirt off and putting it on. I'm hot, I'm cold.
Of all the vodkas,
I drank all of the vodkas
all
last
the vodkas.
Night.
I feel like by
Shirt's
our
coming
age,
off, by the way.
You should start drinking like whiskey or gin.
I tried. Okay, so when I first started dating Austin, that's my boyfriend, guys. He's like a big whiskey bourbon drinker. So
me
when
too.
We started dating 3 years ago, I tried really hard to get into whiskey and bourbon. Because I was like, ooh, a girl who like drinks whiskey, you know, sexy. Pure sex.
Yes.
And I like,
and
I'm
sexy.
I'm
sexy.
I tried so hard. And
what
I
did
couldn't.
You mix it with?
Well, I started with like Jack and Coke.
Right.
And then I even tried like Manhattans and Old Fashions. Old Fashions are okay.
I love Old Fashions.
I can't do it. I hate the taste
really?
Of whiskey. I hate it. Well, like the smell of it makes me sick. So I tried really hard and I'm still a vodka girl.
That's
so
okay.
It is what it is.
You do it.
Yeah.
You do you, girl.
Yeah. So anyways, I went out last night. It's currently Sunday morning while we're recording, by the way.
Yeah.
So.
And it's like rain snowing.
Yeah, it's like icky out. But we're in my little yoga room at my house.
Our recording studio, and it's super cozy.
It's super cozy. I'm drinking coffee. I'm on my third cup of coffee.
I'm on a juice cleanse.
Oh my God.
I don't even believe in juice cleanses.
It's like the nastiest juice, too.
It smells like the back of my refrigerator. Which is not. It
apparently smells like
shape.
Straight up garbage because this juice smells like trash, you guys.
It's the ingredient. It's like carrot, orange, apple, pineapple, lemons, all sexy stuff. But
it's sexy juice. It looks
holy
sexy.
Crap. Yeah,
it's a beautiful
like this,
orange
like, thin
color.
Bottle, but oh God. And the other one this morning was worse.
Did you finish it? You just switched.
I just stuffed it in my bag. I'm never going to speak of it again.
Okay. Not in your juice holder?
Not in my juice holder.
Okay.
I need a juice holster.
A juice holster.
Quick, they call me Quick Draw Juice McGraw.
Okay,
this got real nerdy.
Anyways,
so.
So Katie's on a juice cleanse. She's miserable. No, just kidding. She's
I
not.
I want coffee so bad.
I'm waving my coffee in her face and being really mean.
Yeah, she's kind of a bitch right now.
It's so good, though. I really need this coffee today. I'm, like, real tired. But somehow, Katie stayed up later than me.
I was up till 5 a.m. working on this shit for you guys. Anna did
oh
all
God.
Her work during normal business hours.
Yes.
For some reason, I was like, I'll start at midnight.
Yeah, you're crazy.
I know.
I was home and in bed at 2 a.m., which I'm very proud of.
Well.
I said no to the last bar.
Nice.
So I hit 2 out of 3, and then I was like, I'm too old for this shit. basically is what happened.
You just, like, turned into an old cop.
Seriously. We got into Austin's truck. He was DD last night. We drink responsibly, guys.
Don't drink and drive.
Yeah, no. He's always DD. Lucky him. Yeah, I know. But I'm sure he's feeling great this morning. So, in a way, he wins. So, yeah, we got into his truck last night, and we, like, looked at each other, and we were like, why did we get so old and boring?
The idea of being at a bar at 2 a.m.
I know. It had been a while.
Yeah.
It had been a hot minute.
Oh, yeah. I don't know the last time I was at a bar.
Oh, my God. I mean, we were only out for someone's birthday. Otherwise, we would have been home and in bed at 11 after work.
If I'm going out, I'm eating.
Oh, we did eat. I got cheese curds.
Woo.
I got down on some cheese curds.
Oh, my God. You're killing
so
me
good.
Right now.
Cheers. Actually, I got down hard on some food last night. So I work in a restaurant, you guys, called Plate in Barrington, P-L-8. It's like Asian food and stuff, but it was one of our cook's birthdays, and he's been with us, like, since the beginning. So we made him this giant torta. You can't see my hands right now,
it's
big.
Apart.
Yeah, so it's a massive torta, and we, like, all shared it, and we made tacos and guac and chips. And then I went out and had cheese curds.
Nice.
I was like, yeah, I need these.
That's not
after my torta. So, yeah, I had a super, super healthy Saturday.
That's okay.
Oh, well.
What the fuck is yoga history?
What the fuck is yoga history? It's a lot.
It is a lot.
It's a shit ton of information.
And when we started, we were like, oh, yeah, we'll just do some bullet points. We'll do a couple of years.
No.
But guess what?
No. It's so much.
Yeah, and it's so contradictory. We found so many different sources with different
years.
It's
very confusing.
There's a lot of consensus, though, that kind of puts everything into 4 main periods.
Yes.
But even then, there's, like, a pre-period and a post-period.
So it's, like, 6 periods.
Yeah. But we're just going to focus on
6 massive periods.
Massive. Massive! Like, it makes our civilization currently just seem like nothing.
Because it is.
It's nothing.
It's a blip on the radar.
A blip. But we're going to start before these 4 main periods.
Yes.
So until recently, most people believed that yoga began just around 500 BCE.
Which is not that long ago.
No, not at all. And that was at the time of Gautama.
A.K.A. Buddha.
Buddha.
A.K.A. Siddhartha.
There's a lot of A.K.A.
AKA
in this show also. But it actually appears that it goes much further back, but in a different form than we currently think of yoga. So, quick note, a lot of those, and when I started yoga, I thought yoga was just, like, the physical practice.
Yeah,
moving,
same.
Poses.
Mm-hmm, totally.
But that's not how it originated, and that's only still a small aspect of yoga.
Right. So it didn't just, like, start with someone, you know, coming into Flying Pigeon.
Boom.
Boom.
Nailed it.
This day, this year. You know?
And in 2000 BC, Swami somebody
came into a headstand.
Nailed it.
Yeah. Add that to the list.
Check.
Yeah, no, that's not how it happens.
Nope, not at all.
I feel like it'd be easier if that's how it happens.
I think it would sure make writing this episode a lot easier.
Yes, but unfortunately, that's not how it happens.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
But when we break it down into 4 distinct areas, we need to go even further back than those eras to early civilization.
Correct.
So you guys may have heard of the Fertile Crescent. There was another civilization going on around that same time called the Indus Sarasvati, also a.k.a.
Harappan
civilization.
Harappan. Such a good word. Wait, okay, little side note. You said the Fertile Crescent, and that brought me back to, like, grade school. Isn't there a song about the Fertile Crescent? Or, like,
Fertile Crescent?
Like Mesopotamia? It's like,
I don't even think that's like Byzantine Empire shit, though. That's, like, hundreds of years later.
That's the Fertile Crescent, though.
Is it?
Dun, 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 to Constantinople. Dun, 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 dun. That's all I know.
We'll Google that later.
Look it up in the show notes.
I remember Steve, that's my husband?
Husband, you have to say
I keep forgetting.
Recent. That was a recent development
husband.
For Kate.
He always like, that's a modern song? I don't even know. I don't even know what the song is. We'll look it up later. We'll share with you. I'm pretty sure Constantinople was long after. I think it was in the Fertile Crescent,
yeah.
Right?
It was in the Fertile Crescent, but it was after what we're about to discuss.
It was a much later civilization.
Yes. So this civilization, the Indus Sarasvati civilization, was kind of uncovered in the 1920s by archaeologists digging in Pakistan. So they were around between 7,000 and 5,000 BCE, so much earlier than we first thought. So these people were in farming communities, basically just cultivating grains and domesticating animals.
And up to this point, they were, most cultures were nomadic. So this shows a shift in
moving
settlements.
Around. so they were in a very, very fertile area. They had two of the biggest rivers in India, right?
India and Pakistan.
Yeah, India and Pakistan. Flowed through this area. So it was a really, really, really good place to settle. Farming was super easy. And
back then, there were actually more rivers. It was like a system of six rivers.
Oh, really?
They believe. Yeah. And then over time, they kind of flowed into one or into two.
And one still exists today.
Correct.
Which one is that? The Sarasvati?
The Indus.
The Indus. Okay. So the
Sarasvati
dried up. Yeah. Okay. Which
gone.
Is kind of why the civilization is gone.
Right.
Yeah,
but we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, we are. So basically, this culture was spread out in a massive area of 300,000 square miles, which is like if Texas ate Oklahoma, which is freaking huge.
Yeah, it's a lot of space.
Texas itself is huge. So,
right.
Yeah.
And this is located kind of at it's mostly in Pakistan and the northwest side of India.
Yeah. So these communities were interacting and trading and sharing their knowledge and skills. And they really started to hit their stride between 3300 and 1800 BCE.
Whoa.
They mostly spoke Sanskrit, but they also spoke other languages.
And that's really when the civilization is kind of the Indus Sarasvati civilization is called complete.
Oh, complete.
Complete.
Okay.
Or, like, that's kind
complete.
Of when, like, that's when they start dating that civilization.
Is that, like, when they peaked?
Kind of.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. Because up until that point, they were more farming and pastoral. And then, like, once they start trading and stuff in 3300.
Yeah. They were pretty urban.
Like,
they became, like, a pretty urban civilization.
If I could go back in time, I mean, before I was like, I want to go back to the Middle Ages and fight with dragons. And now it's like, no, that shit's dangerous. I'm going to go to this place. And you'll see why after we talk a little bit about their advancements and their culture.
I mean, I'd still go back
culture.
And fight with dragons, but
yeah, me
you
too.
Do you. You do you, girl.
Me too. But, you know, for like a nice holiday, when you're like, you know what? I've had enough swords and lances shoved up my face. I'm going to go take a break in the Indus Sarasvati Valley.
We'll go chill in their bathhouses.
Yes. With their indoor plumbing.
Their indoor plumbing.
Because this medieval shit stinks.
Yes.
So
this was the largest civilization in early antiquity. I don't know why I just screamed at you guys. It's really important. There was nothing primitive about these people. They had, like I said, they were pretty urban by this time. So they had multi-story buildings, fully functioning sewage systems, unparalleled until the Roman Empire. So that's very impressive. They had geometrically laid out brick roads, a system of measurement. I mean, everything. Even dentistry. That's crazy.
No. So gross.
My dad is a dentist. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe in
a
past life.
Maybe he's a dentist.
He wasn't. No. He's definitely a dentist. I was saying maybe in a past life he was an Indus Sarasvati dentist.
Well, they technically call it proto-dentistry.
What does that mean?
It means like really primitive.
Oh, God, that would be horrible. Can you imagine?
Oh, yeah. And they found, like, evidence of drilled out molars.
Oh,
just imagine that. With crowns. They were making
really?
Crowns. Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
That would hurt so bad.
I know.
Being
anesthesia.
Numb. Maybe, though, they had some kind of, like, plant that could numb
Ale.
Their gums.
Yeah.
Or just alcohol.
Yeah. Shit ton of alcohol. They're importing.
I mean, that works, too. So.
And during this time when all these, and there's also urban planning with streets kind of built on a grid system, which even Chicago can't get down at this point in time.
Oh, my God, I know.
But this is around the era when they started finding the first scientific evidence of yoga. So they're finding seals and stones that are carved with...
like people in...
yoga poses.
Yeah, like lotus pose.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And the earliest, when they date these rocks, they're coming up to about 3000 BCE.
Yeah.
Cool.
Cool, cool, cool. Anything else about these awesome people?
They exported... exported.
That was weird.
They exported. They exported gold and copper, timber, ivory, and cotton to Mesopotamia, Africa, Middle East.
And they imported lapis lazuli. Soapstone, tin, silver, bronze. I really like lapis.
It's really pretty. And at first I was like, man, they got the shit out of the deal. They're like,
I'm holding
tin.
Some lapis.
And it's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
It's like a nice, looks well worn.
It's calming. It is. Because
like
I rub
ocean.
It. Can't you tell? It
I
is.
Can't
it's
tell.
Like my own little ocean.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
But it kind of sounded like they were exporting like tin, silver, and bronze and soapstone. Or they were importing that, but then they were sending out like gold and timber and ivory.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, they got a crappy deal. But the lapis lazuli is pretty fucking sweet.
Yeah,
so,
it's pretty dope.
Yeah, pretty dope. The way they traded with all these distant places provides evidence that they knew quite a bit about shipbuilding and navigation.
Yeah.
There were some.
They were a sea people.
They were a sea people, a maritime people.
A maritime sea people.
And they found conch shells that are, or conch.
Conch. I say conch.
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 They found conch shells.
We're so a Chicagoan.
Yes.
So they found these conch shells and they were compasses.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
Now I just sound like Family Guy.
That's gross. Okay. Sound like Lois.
The coolest part about this whole civilization is that there's no evidence of any kind of central government. Yeah, right?
Far ahead of their times.
No evidence of any kind of standing army.
Wow.
Yup. No evidence of a large wealth gap.
Wow.
So even the most, like, low-class dwellings that they were finding
mm-hmm.
were still like single family homes with plumbing that were in pretty decent repair.
Dang.
Right?
Yeah, I'm gonna go back to this time.
Yeah. There's no evidence of any kind of slavery, forced labor, war, or destruction, which if you think about other civilizations during this time, like they had people, you know, they had slaves building pyramids and slaves building castles.
I mean,
and
that's how
and that
most
and,
of the world has
right.
been built.
And that's when you look at any kind of wealth, it's built on the backs of forced labor.
Right.
So the fact that that didn't exist here.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
I have goosebumps.
This
or I'm just cold. I can't decide.
But this is a civilization that lasted for 1,300 years.
Right.
Here we are in the U.S.,
still
less
can't figure it out.
And we can't stick to those.
I'm still struggle busing over here.
Struggle busing like hell.
Oof.
So, for a long time, it was believed that the Indus Sarasvati people were destroyed by invaders.
They just like disappeared.
Right. But as you know, now that they're realizing there is no evidence of any kind of destruction or war, they've realized that there was a big change in the climate around
mm-hmm.
that time, and tectonic catastrophe, which
is that like an earthquake?
That's like
like a major shift in the plates.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Geography.
Science.
It's science. We didn't go into that part. Okay.
No.
Deal
but,
with it. Do your own
but
research.
We did find that it changed the course of the rivers.
It did.
So the Sarasvati dried up, which you know.
That sucks.
Yeah, it does suck.
A maritime people.
Yes, yes. So this forced them to move, and they headed east and south toward the Ganges River, and
their
life,
city
their,
just kind of broke apart.
Mm-hmm.
There was
really
nobody
sad.
To keep up the sewers, and
right.
It was really just an infrastructure failure when
right.
everybody's gone. Based on the linguistic evidence at researchers believe that the Indus-Sarasvati civilization created the Rig Veda between 1700 and 1100 BCE as their culture declined. It was kind of like their last ditch, like, oh, we got to
mm-hmm.
record all this stuff because we're disappearing,
right.
so let's get this down on paper. So all the information in the Rig Veda, which we're going to talk about soon,
mm-hmm.
Predates the writing of it or the compilation of it. but that putting it down on paper marks the beginning of our first of four periods.
Woo! The Vedic period.
Yeah.
Yeah, we haven't even gotten into the first period yet.
No.
Whew.
Take a break. Put this on pause.
Buckle up, guys.
Do your thing.
Yeah. Soak, you know, soak it in. Absorb it. Soak it in.
Take a bath. I don't care.
Take a bath. Light some candles.
Burn some Palo Santo.
Yes.
Palo Santo?
Palo. I say Palo Santo.
Shit.
Palo Santo.
We'll
I honestly have no idea, but it sounds like a baseball player.
So, you know, our failings are science and baseball.
Yes.
As of right now.
And pronunciations.
And no, we are nailing the pronunciations.
Yeah, we Googled a bunch of words on how to pronounce them. But
yep.
Again, if we fuck up, just feel free to email us.
Yep.
At WTFYogaPodcast@gmail.com.
We'd
right?
love to hear from you.
Yeah. Okay.
Also, on that line, send us any questions. If there's something
mm-hmm.
in this that you wanted a little more clarification on,
totally
send your questions, send your comments. We will either respond in email or we'll feature you on the show.
Woo! Give you a shout out.
Yeah Okay.
Yes. Okay, so shall we get into the first official period?
Let's do it.
Oh my god, my dog's ashes just fell.
He's
oh
just so proud of you.
Bella!
She's so proud of
my
you.
My Bella! Okay, that was weird. I'm sorry.
Are they in a Ziploc? They're in a quart. They're in a Ziploc. Oh my god, it's Great Value brand. It's not
first
even Ziploc brand.
First of all. Half of her is in this jar.
That's a pretty jar.
Right? I got that in Costa Rica.
That's gorgeous.
It had a turmeric elixir in it. So half of
Recycle.
Her is in this jar, and the other half is in this bag that I meant to bring to the dog park over the summer and scatter, if you must know. And I failed to do that, so she's going to have to wait until next summer.
I feel like you could shell out for Ziploc brand.
Oh my god!
It's just Great Value? You're going to put your dog in a Great Value bag?
Yeah, I am.
Okay,
Katie,
fine.
So.
You know what? It's not...
She
As
can,
we'll talk about later.
She can sit in this
self
tree.
And spirit are separate.
Yeah,
dualism
versus non-dualism, which I'm going to make you tackle because I still
connection.
Don't get it.
That's okay.
Oof.
We'll do it together.
We will.
We just shook hands. It sucks that this isn't recorded visually.
It's
actually,
not?
No.
It is recording.
Visually.
Oh, visually.
Oh, my
oh
God.
Yeah.
We were halfway
yeah.
through the episode and we were like,
oh
we have
I would have been like, nope, I quit.
No,
okay, back to the show. I'm sorry that my dog's ashes fell. That is so weird.
Episode one.
Yeah. Anyways, back to the Vedic period. First official period. And that is, this is like, a big amount of time. 1500 to 500 BCE. So again, massive. How many years is that? Should
again,
we math again?
That's
1,000 years?
1,000 years.
Okay.
And another disclaimer on these time periods.
Yeah.
We kind of found a consensus among the sources that we were using. And you can find all our sources on our website
mm-hmm.
under the show notes at WTFYogaPodcast.com. But there's a lot of disagreement in these time periods. There's a lot of kind of like inversion saying Upanishads came before the Rig Veda, and you know, there's just
right
a lot of things out there. So we just found the most common knowledge
yeah.
to give you guys the most widely accepted
correct
version of history.
Yes. So here it is. And you might, if you haven't taken a yoga teacher training, some of these words might sound totally foreign to you. Like, the Vedas, the Rig Veda, all these are all texts. So basically each period is associated with a major text, right?
Yes, except for
okay.
the last one, I think.
I don't even know what the last one is. Modern? Classical. Modern.
Oh, no, they are.
Post-classical.
It's not.
Okay.
But the first three are.
Yeah. So that's what all these weird words are. And we'll explain it. But so the Vedic period... is associated with the Vedas, which is basically a set of four texts of hymns, rituals, and mantras pertaining to Brahmanism, which is the foundation of Hindu culture. And the Rig Veda is the oldest of the Vedas. So again, a set of four, and the Rig Veda is the first. It's the oldest known text in any Indo-European language and is written in a very old form of Sanskrit, which was transmitted by mouth for generations. Which is kind of funny because we all know how the game of telephone goes.
Yes.
So who knows if it's even anything close to the original.
Right. And I actually read something about that, and it was saying they, like, the linguistic evidence and everything that they were looking at,
mm-hmm.
really that's how they can get it so close in history, is because they know how some things have changed.
How do they know that? Okay.
Speech patterns at the time.
Yeah. So Rig means praise and Veda means knowledge. Woo.
So this book, the Rig Veda, is a collection of hymns in praise of a higher power and knowing that higher power.
Yeah. And it's the OG source of Hinduism.
That's how the kids would say it.
Yeah. The kids these days. OG.
OG. The Vedas talked about a ritualistic way of life in a very, intimate way for each individual. So life revolved around sacrifice as a way to unite the material world with the divine. And if you know anything about, what yoga itself means, yoga translates as yoke or union.
Yoke. That's yolk. Such a good word. Yoke.
Well, now I just want freaking eggs. Runny yolks. Anyway.
Too bad you're on a juice cleanse.
I don't even believe in juice cleanses. Why am I doing this?
I don't know.
I just wanted juice. I thought it sounded good at the time when I bought it like a week ago.
Oh.
It was a way to binge up. Wait, it's still
That's
good.
Why it smells like garbage.
It's okay. Best Buy 12, 5, 8, 17. And
okay.
It's currently, what's today?
November 11th.
Yeah. It's fine. We're fine. I'm not dying. But anyway,
it's actually November 12th.
Cool.
Yeah.
So this idea of uniting the material world with the divine means that the individual needs to be able to focus the mind for a prolonged period of time, like meditation and stuff.
Sounds difficult.
It is difficult. As a yoga instructor, I think I'm not supposed to say this, but I'm going to say it. I don't like meditation.
I do and I don't.
You do and you don't?
I do and it. Some days I do. Sometimes I don't.
Do you actually do it, though?
I do it every single morning.
No fucking
I do.
Way.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm so impressed right now.
You
so
shouldn't
I'm
be because I suck at it. That's my
meditation.
Actually, I usually meditate on this. I need, like, a little bit more height.
Yeah.
I bought those cushions to meditate on, but my back hurts
yeah.
when I sit for a long time
those
on those, so I need more
I like
height.
Them.
Ginger blossoms.
Ginger blossoms.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really bad at it. I sit there, and I, like, monkey mind my way through for about 3 minutes, and I'm like, okay, I got things to do.
I mean, I monkey mind almost the whole time.
Yeah.
It's very rare that I'm like, that was an excellent meditation session.
One time with my last cat, RIP, Sasha, I just crossed myself. I'm not even crazy. I don't know what that was about. But
we're bringing up all of our past animals.
Yes, I know. It's
this
past animal day. I do not have her ashes. I just have her paw print.
That's okay.
But I'll bring it in a baggie and drop it on the next episode. So.
Well, don't, because it'll break.
It will.
So don't
break
that.
My heart. But there was one time I was meditating, and she crawled in my lap, and it was like... early on in our relationship,
yeah.
you know? And so she wasn't really like a lap cat at that
mm-hmm.
point, and she curled up and laid down, and I was like, and then I had the most amazing meditation experience.
Sasha.
And that was the only time that I felt like I meditated the right way.
There's
and obviously,
like not
there's
a right
not a right
way,
blah, 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 but I've never felt like comfortable in meditation,
yeah.
you know?
I think
so,
most people don't feel comfortable in meditation.
Yes.
We'll do like a whole episode
oh,
on
yeah.
this because I could go on and on and on and on about
oh, yeah.
meditation. So I'm
That's
gonna
next
I'm gonna
season.
Cut us off here.
We're gonna
before
cut.
We get too sidetracked.
We are still in the Vedic period.
We are
guys.
Still in the first period, but almost done.
Almost done.
Are
yes.
we even? Yes, we are almost done.
Yes, this is a shorter period.
Yeah,
or less is known about it. I should
right,
say
because
it's
actually
really
a
shorter.
Really long
yeah.
period. It's just there's not a whole ton of information on
exactly.
it.
Exactly. So there was a lot of emphasis on uniting the material world with the divine.
Mm-hmm.
And through meditation,
right.
these practitioners believed that they would get a vision.
When successful.
When successful.
Yeah.
And they looked up to people called rishis. It translates roughly as a seer. So they were a master of this technique, and they could see the fabric of existence.
Whoa!
I don't know what that means.
I
want
to
break that down for you, but I think it just means, like, you're woke.
You're woke.
You're woke AF, man. So people turn to their rishis for spiritual guidance
to get woke
and learn how to live the best life that they can. This is like, if go on Instagram and just follow somebody who like posts fun like fonts and shit, and basically that's it.
Fun fonts.
I don't know. What? You know, like, there's, they just put like a picture of a universe up with like a cursed font that says like "You do you, Bo." Like.
Yeah. Bo. You mean Bo? I was like, I wasn't going to correct you. I was like, I think she meant to say Bo.
Maybe I meant Bo. Anyway, so to wrap up the Vedic period, like the main concept from the Vedic period is this idea of uniting the material world with the divine.
Yeah.
And that is yoga.
For them.
For them.
Yeah.
And it's featured in the four Vedas a lot, that concept.
Yeah.
And its importance in the text suggests that it was also just a part of life there.
Mm-hmm. And before we wrap up this period, we'll also tell you what the other three Vedas are. So the first one is, what is the first one again, Katie?
Yajur Veda.
Yeah. Okay. And that means knowledge of sacrifice. The second one is Sama Veda, and that is knowledge of chance. And the third and final one, or no, it's actually the fourth, right? There's four. Oh, yeah,
right. So the first one is the Rig Veda.
Which is what we've been discussing.
Correct.
And so then the second one is the Yajur Veda. Third is Sama Veda. And fourth is Atharva Veda. The last one translates to knowledge of Atharvan. And Atharvan, I'm probably not saying that right, you guys. I'm like murdering that word. I'm so sorry. He is a legendary Vedic sage of Hinduism, and supposedly he authored the last and final Veda about himself.
He got woke, but he also got ego.
Yeah. And that wraps up the Vedic period.
Woo! That wasn't that hard, right, guys?
Wipe the sweat off my brow.
We're going to go take a break.
Before we continue. Pee break.
So the next period is pre-classical.
And that is the second period, right? Yes.
Okay. Yes. Pre-classical period is our second period. It ran from about 500 BCE to about 100 CE. And that was marked, the beginning of this is marked by the compilation of the Upanishads.
Which I struggle to pronounce.
Upanishads. Although the pronunciation that we listened to, where it was like Upanishads. I was like, I'm not gonna.
We're not doing that. Upanishads.
And they were compiled around 600 BCE. So they're often considered the last Veda. So some people consider them as a part of the Vedas. But it's a distinct collection of about 200 writings about the perception of reality.
Wow. And there's tons of other texts in this period that we'll get into that also talk about yoga. Did someone just knock on the door?
I don't know. Ghosts. Is it Bella?
Oh, God. Probably.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so there's a lot of other texts that talk about yoga during this period. And a lot of these books focus on people actively fighting evil, and they also focus on meditation, self-realization, connection to the universe. But yoga really kind of came into its own with the Upanishads, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So this is where things start to get a little bit more clear. Maybe not.
A little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. But yoga starts to kind of become what we see it as today, or how we know it.
Right.
Outside of the
asana.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Aspect.
Which is the physical aspect.
Right. And we are still not there in history.
Yeah.
I mean, simple, like, sitting in lotus pose has happened.
A lot of meditation still.
Right. But that's about it.
Yeah.
No flying pigeons.
No flying pigeons.
No frog
pose. No headstands. Maybe headstands.
Maybe.
Who knows?
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure kids were just, like, playing around and they stood on their hands.
Right.
But I don't think they were like, I'm also doing yoga.
I'm doing yoga.
They're just like, I'm a kid. I'm fucking around.
Right, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. So basically, the Upanishads are spiritual texts, and they're the hidden teachings about the ultimate reality of all of the things.
All of the things.
All of the
And they're
things.
Not so hidden.
No. Pretty obvious.
Yeah.
Right there in a book.
Another text from this period that you may have heard of or even read is the Bhagavad Gita. I always felt like that was the most manageable text of my teacher training.
Yeah, I actually didn't read it. But
you didn't?
No, I want to, though, because
I like it.
It's supposed to read, like, it's like an epic.
It's a story.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
It's like reading a novel that's
yeah.
colorful.
And it's actually pretty short. I have it right here. It's pretty short.
Ooh.
And it's easy, I don't know, it's not like easy to understand, but it's out of all of the books that they gave you to read,
mm-hmm.
I was like, yes, this I understand, I get it,
I
great.
Can do it.
Yeah, I can do it.
I can do it.
So if you haven't read the Gita, I highly recommend it.
And that was around 500 BCE.
It's an allegory. Like we said, it reads like a novel, and it's basically about the moral struggles of humanity. It's only 700 verses long. It's still currently inspiration for millions of Hindus. The Gita is part of the Mahabharata. Did I say that right? Yeah,
I
nailed it. Cool, cool, cool.
I mean, I'm no expert.
And that's one of India's great national epic. And imagine this. It's 7 times the size of the Iliad and the Odyssey combined.
Oh my God, no.
I can't even.
No.
Yeah, nope.
Nope.
No thanks.
I do not want that.
No.
Another large theme in the Bhagavad Gita is selfless action without getting anything back.
Mm-hmm.
So in this, during this period, there's a lot of war going on. It's very violent. A lot of the scriptures are very violent, but they're still trying to keep their minds on selfless action. So
yeah.
They're looking for kind of the elevation of the human spirit here.
Yeah.
And this is about when Gautama Buddha is said to have studied under teachers of yogic meditation and philosophy on his path to enlightenment.
And although yoga began in the Hindu tradition, it is not a religion. It is a philosophy, and it can live side by side with any religion.
Right. And there's a lot of controversy lately about that. A lot of people
mm-hmm.
feel like it doesn't align with their faith, and it's you can look at this right here. It's a Hindu tradition, and yet Buddha said, we're going to also use this. So
yeah.
You can use this in any faith. It's
yeah.
just another tool in your toolbox.
Another tool in the toolbox.
And we'll probably have a whole episode of that, too.
Yeah. What, tools in the toolbox?
Yeah.
Or Buddhism?
I meant, like, as a philosophy.
Oh.
And not
oh,
a religion
oh.
replacer.
Yeah.
religion
replacer. Religion
replacer.
And it can be
it
that,
can
too.
Be.
Yeah.
It is for me.
It's whatever you want.
Yep.
You do you.
Yep.
You do you,
bow.
Bow. You do you, bow.
You do you, bow.
Hashtag bow.
Hashtag bow.
Hashtag
yeah,
you do
make
you
that
bow.
Happen.
Yeah, I'm going to.
Okay. So the takeaway from the pre-classical period is basically that the self is the same as the universe. So meditating to explore the self can help you understand the universe and its oneness. And if the universe and you are the same,
God, it's just a
you
lot.
You want to, it is a lot.
So much.
You want to take care of it. You want that selfless action to be elevating everything.
Yeah. I like that.
Thank you.
Yeah, that I can understand.
Right.
I mean, it's still a lot. It's like,
it
whoa, I am the universe.
I am the universe.
Holy shit.
So
but yeah, it's a nice concept.
Yes.
Okay, guys, that's going to end part one of the history of yoga. Just because it's a lot.
Yes.
A lot of information.
A lot of time.
So take it in. Absorb it.
Yeah. Do some shavasana.
Forget it. Whatever. Do
internalize
some
this shit.
Internalize it. Let it manifest.
Abundance.
Abundance.
Some buzzwords. Get some yoga buzzwords and throw them out there.
Yeah.
So visit our website for show notes at WTFYogaPodcast.com or email us any questions, comments, hate mail, love mail at
hate mail.
Don't send us hate mail. Don't be an ass.
I mean, you can. It's fine.
Yeah.
It just means somebody is listening.
We'll just brush it off.
To us talk.
Yeah. I'll be like, oh my God, they love it. They're paying enough attention to hate us.
Yeah.
But you can send all that shit to WTFYogaPodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah. So look out for part two. It'll be up there.
It'll be up there.
It'll be up there.
We'll see you next time.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
What the fuck?
Hey guys.
We hope you love what you hear on What the Fuck Yoga Podcast.
If you do, please like and subscribe in iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or whatever platform you use to listen to your podcasts.
Also, follow us on Facebook and the Gram, aka Instagram. Send us your burning questions or comments to wtfyogapodcast@gmail.com.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.